been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to the Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. And guys, it was a Thanksgiving miracle. We actually are back on Apple Podcasts. Our good buddy Coach Dan over on What the Puck, since it was Thanksgiving week, him and I couldn't figure out a time that we could do What the Puck, so I was like, dude, just do a solo show on your own, and he was like toying around with uploading the episode, and he figured out the issue with Apple Podcasts, so we are officially back on Apple Podcasts. I'm so happy. And
yes, thank you, Dan. Thank you, yes, Dan.
You gotta thank our buddy Dan at What the Puck. If you're a Caps fan, you should go listen to my other podcast, What the Puck. And Dan seems to be smarter at computers than me, so he was able to figure that out. So thanks a lot,
you're
Dan.
You're smarter than computers than me because you do the editing. I did it in college, but it's so long ago. I'm sure it's not hard, but I did editing way back in college. I'm talking like, what is it, 2021? I'm talking 2003, 2004-ish. So, right. Yeah, I would have to be learned on that one.
Yeah, luckily I do it every day for a living, so it's no big deal. I love doing it. So, hey, here we are. We're here to talk about the Ravens-Browns game. The Ravens were able to sneak away with a win. Josh, you were there. That was, it was a win. Don't get me wrong about that. But that was a bit of a stinker of a game. Back and forth, there was some really sloppy play by both teams, but right. The Ravens are still, they're finding a way to win. They're finding a way to win with injuries or with poor play or whatever. It doesn't seem to matter. The Ravens, they're still winning.
How are they doing this?
I don't know.
I sat there, I was talking to my dad about that, right? And I looked at him. I was like, do you realize the Ravens should definitely lost all three games in the last three? They should definitely... They should be hovering around 500, not even three. And you could say that about any game. Like, obviously, they were down, but the Colts, they had to make a play against the Chiefs. I mean, we can slice and dice each win. But the fact of the matter is, this team in a watered-down AFC is in first place again. Like, they were in first place for a week, right? Then you remember it was all about Cincinnati. Oh, the Bengals. And then now the Titans held it for a couple weeks. Now it's the Ravens. So, you know, looking at the makeup of the AFC, the Ravens have a shot. And to stay in every game so far has been awesome. Now, there has been arguments whether the Ravens' injuries and bad performance and bad play mask wins. And we talked about that. I kind of went on record saying they're winning despite all that. And they are. Like I told you. Apart from an absolute dismal performance against the Dolphins, right?
Right.
You know, when you get an alert that Hollywood Brown isn't playing and then Lamar's not playing, you're playing the Bears on the road. Like, you're already like, oh, that's a loss. I even said to my buddies, I'm like, not expecting to even sniff a win. They're going to lose big time. Like, can't change my prediction. They're going to lose by 10 points. Then they win the game. And you're like, really? Okay. And then you look how bad – not only the Ravens played, but the Browns played too. I mean, there was turnovers galore right at the end of the half, right? There's five total amongst the teams. And, you know, it was something to behold. Being there, a heated rivalry game, very close. It had the makeup of, you know, the Ravens were – I felt like they got in their way. You know, they got down there, goal line, goal to go for a touchdown, went second and goal in the one. I felt like they called an incorrect play call. At the time, I think they handed it to Latavius Murray and he got stuffed for loss. And if you look at the play, it could have been just like the bootleg that they called against the Chiefs. Lamar could have easily walked in the end zone untouched. So a lot of it was execution. Interceptions weren't called for, whether they were tipped or right at the guys. Got to clean that up. Lamar was rightfully pissed at the end of the game. Very hard on himself. Obviously, he knows we got the W, but you know, that can't happen. But it's like this. If this team can win with a backup quarterback, I don't care who it's against. I mean, you know, the Bears took the Steelers to the brink pretty much with the same team. You know, not only that, but then you look at the four interceptions. If they can win with those circumstances, what would happen if he didn't throw four? He only threw one or none, right? Like, right. You're taking the ball away. That's a possession less for the Ravens. And obviously, I don't know if it says more about the Ravens' credit to their defense or the Browns' inability to score, but the Browns had four turnovers. It didn't score, but only 10 points. And then even their touchdown was questionable at that. Like, they missed a field goal. I forgot to get my chicken nuggets, though. I was disappointed. I know we had free nuggets because the opposing kicker missed field goal, but it's all good. It's all good. But, you know, celebrating.
Wait, where is that from? What?
You don't know that?
No, so, what is that?
Well, Brandon, you got to give the games. Ah. But, so I'll let you in on this. So what happens is when an opposing kicker lines up in Raven Stadium, right?
Okay.
They put this advertisement out, all the boards and all that go red, and it's McDonald's Arch. And apparently if a kicker misses a field goal, it's called Free the Nuggets. So if the kicker misses, opposing kicker misses a field goal, whether it's blocked or missed it, you get a free six-piece nugget. But what happened is, and the opportunity happened in the game on Sunday, but it also actually was a success in the Colts game, the nuggets go up. So if the Ravens are successful in a blocked or the opposing team misses a field goal, then the next attempt, it's 10 nuggets, not 16 total, but like they just upped the order. Like now it's 10 free nuggets and then so on. So the Colts actually missed two field goals. I think the Ravens blocked one and then he missed the field goal. So there was, so all the Ravens fans the next day per the app, McDonald's app, were able to get 10 free piece, a free 10 piece nugget. So that's the promotion in the stadium. So like I said, I think you have to actually do it the day after the game. I have to look at my app. I can't remember, but all in all, it's always something fun because we always celebrate Freedom Nuggets and it's like a fun time, but it was chippy. It definitely was the second rivalry game, obviously. The second win, the second leg of the Ravens opponents in the AFC North. It was chippy in the stands, bro. I mean, sure. I mean, we didn't have any negative things going on in our section, but there was Browns fans two rows in front of us and they were being heckled the whole time. And, you know, it was good back and forth banter. So, you know, in retrospect, I mean, it was good from a fan standpoint. It was fun to poke fun at them and we were back and forth and who's going to concede the game. You know, it was really close. I'll tell you this, for all the flack that we've been talking on the show about the defense giving up big plays. I mean, we know Jarvis Landry had well over 100 yards. I think he had over 100 yards definitely receiving. And he had a big day himself. But the Ravens kept the big plays under wraps and the defense all around. Without Calais Campbell going into the game, bro, I was confused. Not confused. I was concerned. When I saw he was inactive, I'm like, man, that's our heart and soul right now. But not to discredit the unit that got it done on Sunday, but wow, another great thriller on Sunday Night Football. The defensive performance. And, like, I don't know if you saw the sneak peek of Wired. We're recording this. Wired drops every Wednesday, I think, 8 or 9 p.m. for the Ravens. There's a sneak peek. And Patrick Kareem went over to Lamar on the sideline. I can't remember. Yes. I can't remember which interception it was after. But he actually went up to him and said, bro, you're good. We got you. Instead of the defense, we heard it all the time. Remember in the 2000 year where it's like the offense couldn't score a touchdown for 21 quarters and there might be strife among the team because the defense is doing the job, but the offense sucks and they're not picking up their end of the bargain. That's a team. It's called, you go over to your guys and go, hey, we know you're playing horrible. We got you. And that's what I love about this team. And this is what I think is carrying this team right now. And you can probably say he's definitely carrying the team instead of probably because, you know, that's what it's about. It's a complete team effort. You know, when one lacks, the other picks up. It ain't, I mean, we know the Ravens have had a 5-game win streak. But we know when it's bad, especially the Dolphins bad, it's bad. You know, the offensive line can't block, defense, miscommunication, giving up big plays, we're getting blown out. You look like an amateur hour out there, and you're like, what gives, man? They're too talented for this. And like Lamar said, he played like a rookie. I'm actually concerned at this point in his career if he has the ability to really fully read the defense because I'm seeing Mac Jones being successful in the New England Patriots right now, right on our heels, man. 8-4, 6-foot straight wins, man. Look out. They have a good one on Monday night against the Bills coming up. You know, you look at the performance of some of these quarterbacks and what they're doing. I just feel like Lamar, he has to step up in that regard.
Yeah, you just said that about Mac Jones. Can you imagine a Super Bowl where it's Mac Jones and the Patriots versus Tom Brady and the Bucks?
If it's not the Ravens this year, I mean, somehow, because, I mean, obviously they're winning games and they're in prime position right now at 8-3. Who knows what could happen? But, yeah, that would be a dream scenario to have, you know, the Patriots and Bucks. That would be insane.
Yeah.
A lot of football left to be played, but that would be a dream scenario for the NFL and fans all like.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got to talk a little bit about Lamar here. He did throw 4 interceptions. And on social media, I've seen a lot of people freaking out about 4 interceptions. And I've seen a lot of people say stuff like, well, you know, Tom Brady's thrown 4 interceptions before. Peyton Manning's thrown 6 interceptions in one game before. Like, it happens to all the great ones. And I do agree with that. I'm not going to judge Lamar on just one game. However, I think we all can agree Lamar does have to play better. 4 interceptions is not good. He knows he looked like a rookie. He definitely did look like a rookie. I'm glad that he realizes that. We know how much he's passionate for the game. I'm not going to judge him by this one game and having a bad day, but this definitely cannot be a consistent issue that we're seeing from Lamar. And I don't think it's all Lamar. I think it's the offensive line not giving him time. I also think he's been doing this for a couple years. The other teams have kind of realized how to get to Lamar and make him a little uncomfortable. So
I'm not going to say figure it out yet, right? But right. You're seeing the schemes. He's not running amok like he was prior, right?
Right.
He's not getting the lanes. And when he thinks he has the lanes, he gets flustered and frustrated. He has to know that, you know, whether they're called runs or they're improv runs, he has to know what's zone and what's man and what's going on in that regard.
Right. And we do have to bring up the fact that Mark Andrews, I mean, some fantastic catches from Mark Andrews this week. You want to give out a game ball or something. I think this week's would have to go to Mark Andrews from some of the just spectacular plays that we got from him. I mean, without him playing, we might be talking about a Ravens loss.
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, if we're going to talk, how close it was. I mean, the game was right on the line at the end, but now how electric it was in the stadium is, you know, going back to the moments in the stadium where it was like, that's where the crowd, you know, felt like the defense, it was like a volt. They fed into it and the defense, he rose to the occasion. And this was a shocker, and I'm sure it's shown on TV. I didn't go back and see the recording, but how about Ray being there?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that added some, it has to add some flavor. I'm not going to say it probably did. We know it did. He was shown at some point, I think in the third quarter, maybe the fourth, when the game was like hanging in the balance. And of course they're getting the fans fired up. When the Ravens showed him on the Jumbotron in his suite, and he was actually like, bro, Ray reminds me of a big kid, right? He was into the game, like pointing, jumping up and down saying, let's go. He was, and I mean, obviously he was on the screen getting us fired up, but when the Ravens went 4-and-out at the end of that game to shut down the Browns once and for all, that spoke volumes. And it gave me a little bit of hope, not to discount how bad the performance was on Lamar, not to discount the lack of the running game a little bit, but you know, the lack of the running game, that's something where I'm going to segue to. Kudos to them. They ran it. They ran it 120 yards as a team plus in the second half of the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, they kind of took over and made the proper adjustments, but there was a lot of moments in this game where it shouldn't have been close. I mean, they had a goal to go, kicking a field goal in the side of the red zone. If you rewind the clock, and this is not 2019 by any stretch, but they were a killer in the red zone where they were just putting touchdown after touchdown on the board and killing teams. Now it's like we're missing that spark that put away, and obviously we're missing playmakers on all ends. But credit to – this is a full team win. You know, Tyus Bowser was all over the place, wrecking havoc. You know, it's freeing up Patrick Queen, which with the play of Bowser and Josh Bynes, Patrick Queen is having a better year now because he moved positions. So that was another move that was proved off of the Ravens. So you look at everything that's happened over the last 10, 11 weeks, 12 weeks, you know, it's put the Ravens in prime position. And that's the thing. You wake up and you see the shape of the AFC and you're like, how? How are the Ravens – the Baltimore Ravens, who have what, like almost 20 players in IR.
Right.
How are they 8-3 and the number one seed heading into week 13 of this NFL year? The Ravens have a month and a half to play football. Four of them are against AFC North team. So it's not over by any stretch of the means. But, you know, looking at the way it stacks up, I don't care how, I don't care when. You could call it miracles. And not only that, but you've heard these, I guess, these opinions out there that the Ravens are lucky.
Right.
Ravens aren't lucky. If that's the case, then, I mean, yeah, a little luck. We've always said a little luck's got to bounce your way, right? But the Ravens aren't lucky. They won a game with their backups in Chicago. You know, they weren't lucky because Lamar threw four picks. They didn't get lucky on Sunday. They didn't. That was a dominant defensive effort, and the defense said, I'm saying, you know what, Lamar? I know you're slacking. Get yourself together. We got you, and we're going to shut down the Browns. The Ravens, yeah, you could say one or two plays get lucky. Like Ravens in 2012 got lucky with a 4th-and-29 play. I mean, it was a play. It happened. Whether you want to call it luck or not, Maha Miracle, we know it's improbable. It's why it's called a miracle. But if you really want to go back in that, I mean, did the Giants not get lucky on a David Tyree helmet catch? Did the Patriots not get lucky with the Julian Edelman scoop all right before it hit the turf to set them up for the comeback? I mean, Giants got lucky twice, a crazy catch by Mario Manningham in the second Super Bowl against the Patriots. I mean, you could call it luck. I mean, you know, were the Ravens lucky that the ball for Justin Tucker in Detroit hit the crossbar and fell through as far as hitting the crossbar and went forward? I mean, it's the way the ball bounces. You can say they're lucky, but the fact remains is they're 8-3. That's a whole nother thing if you think, okay, is this team built to have a deep playoff run? It remains to be seen. I mean, just seeing what they do with these opponents, because they have four AFC North games and two games against one team who's pretty much struggling and one team who's rising to the top and is the second seed in AFC right NFC right now. But we know. But here's the thing, Brandon. Speaking of that, we can't get to the Rams matchup because that's after the New Year. That's the first game in January. But would you, if you go back, would you rather have? Obviously, you would rather have Matt Stafford's stats in the last three games for Lamar, wouldn't you? Right.
Sure, yeah.
But the Rams have lost all three games.
Yeah.
Matt Stafford threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns on Sunday against the Packers, and you know what the end result was? A big, fat L. They choked on it. They lost the third straight. After a 7-1 start, they're 7-4. They're one game worse than the Ravens. Granted, that's the NFC, but that's the point. I even brought it up the day after when I hear all these crazy talk online. Did the Ravens not win a playoff game when Joe Flacco went 4-for-10 for 34 yards and one pick, no touchdowns? Because we won it on rushing and defense because we ran it almost 200 yards that day and defense was wrecking Brady all day long. There was one more way. There's more than one way to win a game. And just because you focus on the quarterback play, I mean, again, go back to the tape. I can show you. Matt Stafford had way more better stats and way more fantasy points the last 3 weeks, but the Ravens are 2-1 in that stretch and the Rams are 3-0 in the last three games. So who would you rather take right now? Because if the Ravens lost three straight, they're hovering, like I said, they're a 500 team and they're not making the playoffs. They're no worse than the mediocrity of the AFC. But Brian Bilek always said, you are what your record says you are, and the Ravens are 8-3. I don't care. You're going to hear me say it all the time. I don't care how. I don't care when. I don't care if. I don't care why. I don't care what. Ravens are an 8-3 football team. And until they start losing games, and I get it, right? Me and you can agree all day. They can't play like that and win a playoff game, but – you know, they're playing like that and winning. Does that mean what would happen if they flip the switch and don't make those mistakes and play sharper football? They probably beat the Browns by 20, 30 points. I mean, let's make no mistake about it. Lamar don't throw a pick. And look at all the adversity we overcome. Lamar started the Chiefs game in week two with a pick six. Didn't the Ravens win that game? I mean, I don't care. Like you said, we can go back to Fast and Furious number one. Winning's winning. Care if it's a Ben inch or a mile. Great Paul Walker, rest in peace, man. He said, dude, I almost had you. Almost ain't close enough. Yeah, the Browns almost had us. Oh, yeah, but nope. It was 6 points, not close enough. I don't care. You know, I don't know the stat sheet, but I guarantee they probably have more yards than us. But what matters right now is, did we score most points at the end of the game than the other team? And is it a win or is it a loss? Because that is what measured. If you want stats, go play fantasy football. Go play DraftKings. Get your fix. Put your players in you want to see do good, but – this is not fantasy, it's reality. And reality is the Ravens, despite everything they've been through, are an 8-3 football team. And some pundits clash heads on this on the national stage because a lot of them are concerned. Like, you know, Kyle Brandt said it on NFL Network, and paraphrasing him, he was concerned because he's like, yeah, can't win playoff games in January playing like that. No, and that's a fact. I mean, you have to recognize that. But like Mike Robb said, you know, Mike Robinson, you know, he kind of went on the side as I was going, saying like, they're winning playing that bad. I don't care who it's against. So if they don't do that, look out. Like, that's still dangerous. You know, the Browns still were dangerous. You know, everybody still likes them for some reason. Everybody still likes them to try to make the playoffs. It happens. So, looking at the matchup, we understand it can't happen, but the guys just stepped up big time. Got to be proud of this team and the way they just tried through adversity, man. It's next man up. They dig. They play for the man next to them, and here are we to get in the way.
Now, this is probably going to step on the toes of next week's show, but next week we're going to be talking about the Browns again because they have this week they're up against the Steelers, and they're going to be up against the Browns in 2 weeks in Cleveland. So what do you think it means for this team that just got off of a win here against the Cleveland Browns and wasn't the best showing by the offense? Calais Campbell was out. There's a good chance he comes back this week, so we should have him back in 2 weeks. But what does it mean to face this team yet again in just 2 weeks?
That means you have no time to let up. I mean, the Ravens had their bye week a few weeks ago. Like, at the end of the game, I think it was Lamar Miles Garrett's exchange. We're going to see you again. That's right, 2 weeks. Let's do it. By the way, did you – I don't want to segue from what you asked, but – did you see the exchange at the end of the game with Baker and Lamar and Miles Garrett and Lamar again?
I did, yeah.
Baker waited for Lamar. Lamar was like, "How's your brother? How's your family?" Like, these guys have respect. That was awesome. And even Miles Garrett, who we know the unfortunate incident that happened with Mason Rudolph and the heated exchange there and the things that transpired. But look at Miles Garrett, how he's changed. You can see it with his character. You know, even tapped Lamar on the head. Like, he was like, "How to get away from me?" He chased Lamar down like the freak he is, and yeah, Lamar still got those passes off. So that was awesome at the end of the game.
And that was mid-game. After Lamar had made that pass to Mark Andrews, Miles Garrett just had to be like, "Dude, that was awesome."
Absolutely.
And there was a big hoopla, I guess, was it last week with Mayfield, where he didn't wait and shake the hand of the opposing quarterback?
Yeah.
There was a whole big hoopla, and he just said, "I was in my head, I was in the game, I was upset with myself." So it kind of shows that he does have a lot of respect for Lamar, for him to wait and for him to shake
his
hand.
Remember Brady in the Sunday night game in 2019 when he was a Patriot?
Right.
Remember at the end of the game, he's like, "Lamar, Lamar." He was like these guys, even though the fierce competitors and, of course, fans, we love to hate them, they're mutual respect. But I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of hatred on Sunday because you know what week it is?
It's Steeler Hate
Week. Steeler
Week.
But not to get lost, yes, it is. But, you know, before we segue into the ultimate matchup, I want to go back to your point. I'm sorry. It just was like, you know, when you asked that, it was like I segue right into the end of the Browns game. So, obviously, you know, forgive me, bear with me on that. But what was your point at the end there? Do you recall?
I was just wondering what you think it's going to be like to face this team in just
two weeks. Yeah,
Normally you get a little bit of time in between repeat opponents. Like, we're, you know, look at the Bengals. How many weeks in between those two games will there be to kind of get ready for them again? This one, you know, if there is some bad blood or something in between two players on each team, they're going to remember that, you know, 2 weeks later, and they're going to want — the Browns are going to be fighting harder than they ever have against the Ravens because they did get this loss and it was such a close game. They're going to want to get that win back, especially in their hometown.
Yeah. I mean, it's on the road. It's the second road game in a row for Baltimore. I mean, it's tough. You know, you just play an opponent, but how many times has this happened before? Whether it's turning right around and playing them close to back-to-back weeks or a month from now, we know that we're familiar with them. And like it was said at the end of the game, we'll see you again. Quick turnaround. The Browns actually have a bye this week. Then they get ready for the Ravens. So do they have the advantage of being home? Obviously, yeah.
That's a late bye.
Yes, it is. And especially since the Ravens are playing a late game at Pittsburgh, going to be all banged up from that and then have to travel to Cleveland. So, again, no excuses with this team. But it's going to be very tough, especially learning from the mistakes of reading that defense of Cleveland. And Cleveland's going to obviously mix it up and give you different looks than what you saw the 2 weeks prior. And the Ravens got to do the same thing. They can't give them the same stuff. So, but that's why they have a whole week to prepare with meetings and practices. And that's why you prepare for the opponent in front of you, not just install your game plan and let's hope it works no matter who's in there. So it's going to be tough, but got to get through Steelers week number one. You got to feel good about this game, right? I mean, it is — the Steelers always makes you uneasy, but given obviously, it's almost like, how do you really feel about it? Because even though the Ravens end up did winning the game, you have to feel good that what you saw, how Cincinnati just ran over Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh's an enigma in itself. And so are the Chargers. that's why I said this so week to week. In a week ago on Sunday football, the Chargers and the Steelers almost put up 80 points apiece or 80 points total. And the Steelers scored 10 on Sunday and the Chargers scored 13. I mean, they got completely snuffed out. Steelers had 3 points all the way till they scored a late garbage time touchdown. The game was never in question from the get-go. The Bengals just poured it on with a crazy blowout win, 41-10. So obviously, as Ravens fans, you hear both sides. You hear, oh, great, now we got a pissed off Steelers team that are 5-5-1 that have to win to save their season. And it's an AAC North bout of that. But then two, it's like, well, that's make you feel good because like they just got picked apart. But then the same Bengals team picked the Ravens apart and blew us out too. So it's fun, but it's the Ravens and Steelers, you know, the different players on the field, different personnel. I think one of the Ravens players referred to as we, I think it was Mark Andrews. It might've been Brandon Williams. I'm not sure, but I heard him call it, this is going to be a brawl. And it is. I mean, it's Ravens Steelers 4:25 kickoff in the late afternoon window.
I think it was Tyus Bowser that said
it
that.
Was Tyus Bowser. Okay. I knew it was, yeah. I had the feeling it was definitely somebody's. I read it. I just can't remember the player. So I apologize, but I mean, it's right in front of us. Enemy territory. Ravens have a chance to really blow this thing wide open and get their 9th win and be 9-3, put the Steelers down for good. Steelers end up losing. They're 5-6-1. I mean, they're pretty much done at this point. They would have to win the rest of their games to pretty much have a chance in any AFC race for that matter. So again, this is a quality time to put your arch rival away and really solidify a 9th win, as I said, alluded to, but got to get better and clean up the mistakes. But we know it wasn't like the Ravens just got beat in all plays and, you know, they kind of had a miracle play at the end. I mean, they threw, you know, they had 4 interceptions as a team and rose to the occasion and still won by 6. I think the Ravens can really do it. I mean, again, it's a toss up because you can take both sides. You can say the Ravens, you know what's in front of them and motivated and they'll do it. And they get bodies back and, you know, call it what you may, but putting health in this team in the same sentence seems weird, but they are getting healthier. Now, Brandon Williams is back. They should get Calais Campbell, hopefully in a week or two. I don't know what his stats are for Sunday. Jimmy Smith's still banged up. I certainly think the Ravens can get it done, but it's, again, what Ravens seem to show up. Are you going to get the adversity-proven Ravens that can overcome things, or are you going to go into enemy territory and we're going to be heartbroken in Pittsburgh again and give them a little bit of life? I don't know, but it's going to be a war either way, man. What are you seeing in this one?
This one's going to be interesting. I think that the Ravens, this could be an opportunity for the Ravens to kind of get some of that confidence back that they may have gotten, you know, a little bit beat up the last couple weeks. They're still coming away with wins, but they're not very convincing wins. So I think that a lot of that might be in their heads. TJ Watt, he is not going to be playing this Sunday. He's in COVID protocol, so we will not be seeing him bothering Lamar. So I think Lamar hopefully will be able to get some of that confidence back, won't be throwing 4 interceptions. Hopefully he'll be able to throw the ball a little bit more. The Steelers, they love to sack the quarterback, and the Ravens love to give up and let the quarterback get hit. So that's going to be a tough one to call, but I think that Lamar is fast enough that he can really get something done here. It looks good on the case of Calais Campbell. He is getting closer to practicing with the team. Today on Wednesday, he wasn't a full participant, but he's getting closer to that full participant status after being in the concussion protocol. So if we get him back, that'll make Big Ben, his life a little bit more difficult. Big Ben, this entire season, he hasn't been throwing the ball long distances. He's been doing, you know, 10 yards, 7 yards, something like that. Real short passes. And he doesn't hold on to it very long. If you've got Brandon Williams, who is healthy, you've got Calais Campbell, who is healthy, you got Patrick Queen, who is doing his thing as well, I think you can make Big Ben and the offensive line of the Steelers very upset. We can definitely get to them that way. I think that this really could be a dominant win for the Ravens, but if they come out flat-footed like they did against Cleveland, it's going to be a rough and tumble game. I think that's kind of plagued the Ravens this entire year, is that they are coming out flat-footed. They're not really getting into their stride until the second half of the game. I really want to see this offense and this defense, both sides of the ball, I really want to see them get to the ball quickly. I want them to start this game strong. If we could start this game with a drive down to the end zone, I would be extremely happy. And if, you know, we start on the defensive end, if we can force the Steelers to go three and out at the very beginning, I'd be very happy with that as well. I think that we haven't seen the Ravens play a full 60 minutes yet, and that's kind of concerning how late we are into the season. But if the Ravens can come out on this one, start strong, and get that lead like they used to do the last couple years and build up those points into the second half, I think that would definitely be a recipe for success for the Ravens.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, you know, long gone are the days of starting fast. I mean, how, and certainly you can peg it as such, but remember 2019, you know, we said it, how sexy was each win, you know, getting out by big leads early, putting teams away, Lamar sitting, team was all firing. But where did that get us? You know, what did that get you? Man, it got you 12 straight wins in the regular season, 14-2 record. But
yeah,
maybe winning ugly is a good thing, you know, and maybe they continue. And I'm not saying, like, let's win ugly in Pittsburgh, but I'll take an ugly win than a pretty loss. Anybody would, because, again, right, Lamar can go out there, throw for 400 yards and three or four touchdowns, and they could lose. And then you'd be like, okay, now what? He didn't throw picks, but he threw touchdowns, and then they lost again. And you're complaining about something else. So, at this point, you know, and to your point, I guess it's really tough with the injuries they got. Like you said, they haven't played a 60-minute bowl game because I guess they got so many people coming in and out. Who's always missing practice? Who's returning to practice? And I mean, managing 8-3 with what they have so far, pretty stinking good. As you said, you know, Campbell was back in practice today. It's good news for him being off concussion protocol. Jimmy Smith and Miles Boykin were on the field. They were participating in warmups. They're in the final stages of returning. So we're getting healthier as the season gets longer, and you can call it what it is, tongue in cheek or whatnot. The Ravens are getting healthier without the guys on IR. And now,
I just wanted to say, there is one concern though with the injury list for the Ravens. Nick Boyle on Wednesday, he did not participate, and he did miss a good chunk of the game towards the end here. So it's going to be a little bit of a bummer to have Nick Boyle back and then have him sit again. It's almost like the Ronnie Stanley injury where he practiced, he played a game, and then realized, oh, I'm not 100%, and then is going to miss more time. But that's definitely a concern without having Nick Boyle on the field.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we know we can bring, I know, with his pass, you know, with his blocking abilities, both from the run and the pass, definitely missed on that line, and continue to monitor that through the week. But, you know, where we're down, Boyle, you know, got to step up, next man up in this one. I certainly think – I think the Ravens get it done. I feel like if I was betting, I would push. Be like, can this just end in a tie? Because it's just – again, I don't know which team we're going to get, man. Are we going to get Pittsburgh that just laid an absolute stinker against the Bengals? Are they going to continue that woes trend? I mean, they're already distracted. You got Claypool wanting music at practice. You know, they're not playing well. They're 500 with a tie. I mean – call what it is, man. I mean, they're not a stronghold by any match, but they're still the Steelers. It's still Ben Roethlisberger, and they can still make plays. And it's going to be the first Ravens-Steeler bout for Najee Harris, the rookie running back. So I'm interested to see how the Ravens can stop him, force Ben to throw it. And I like to see Ravens turnover in this one. I want him to get after Big Ben because we already know he's not mobile.
Right.
You know, so if we can really collapse the pocket and really put pressure on him, I think it bodes well in the Ravens' favor. I think – you know, I'm going to say this is going to be a defensive performance, low scoring. I think the Ravens defense has a stellar performance again, stifles the Steelers. And I think the Ravens win 17-13 in this one. Very close game.
Now, the last 2 weeks against the Browns, Ravens were able to win 16-10. Week 11 against the Bears, Ravens were able to win 16-13. So I'm thinking the Ravens are able to come away with the win against the Steelers. Will they go for the third week in a row where they make 16 points? I'm thinking, yeah, maybe. Let's do 16-13. Same score against the Steelers as they had against the Bears, 16-13.
Wow, you're 1 point less than me. I like it. I like it. I like it. So, yeah, I think certainly it's going to be a close game, bro. It's going to be – dude, it's Ravens-Steelers, man. I'm psyched for it. Not only that, but – you know, just what's coming ahead. I mean, again, this is another leg in the gauntlet, as we called it, the Ravens here. You know, December football is where it's at, and what better way to get the pundits off your team than rise to the occasion, play sharper, play cleaner, do it against a quality divisional opponent, just as the Steelers in enemy territory. So I'm ready for it. And, dude, I'm really – just one of my favorite games and one of my favorite weeks. Ravens Steelers number one. We always talk about it. Pick one of your favorite moments of this rivalry, man. What do you got?
I usually go with the Joe Flacco to Torrey Smith touchdown. I think it was the first time that Joe had beaten the Steelers. It was a Sunday night game. Torrey missed a pass to the end zone and then dropped it, and they gave it right back to him. I really liked that storyline. But I use that one all the time. I kind of want to say it was Joe's first win in Pittsburgh. Big Ben was not playing. He was suspended at the time, but the Ravens marched down the field, and I believe it was a pass from Joe Flacco to TJ Hushmanzada that was able to finally get that touchdown, and Joe was able to beat the Steelers.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
Yeah.
You know, one of mine all time is I always go to the when I was at in person, the only time I ever been to Pittsburgh, it was a win. It was a wild card win. It was actually the last playoff win for Joe Flacco in his career. It was 2014 wild card game. Ravens won 30-16 in Heinz Field on the wild card bout. It was awesome. It was Troy Polamalu's last game. It was great to be at, if I remember that one very vividly, but not so fond memory of the Steelers game. Two of them, and it's like they're a tie. The Christmas night game, me and you watched together when Antonio Brown crossed the goal line after Kyle Juszczyk took the lead with this touchdown.
Right.
Ruined Christmas, Grinch forever.
We were at Jimmy's Seafood for that one.
Yep, never forget that. And then the other one is 2010 divisional playoffs. I think it was 2010 divisional playoffs. Ravens had a 14-point lead at half. I think they were 21-7. And it was one of those, I think, I can't remember if it was EB or Santonio Holmes reaching back there, man. But the Ravens led up a big play and they ended up losing that game. And they pretty much had a 2-touchdown lead. And that was a bittersweet day. I was just like, that day, I was like, I really just lost it. And I'm like, man, like, you had them on the ropes and you let them back. And who forget the AFC championship game in 2008, Flacco's rookie year. Ravens have a chance. And then obviously Flacco throws the dagger pick six to Polamalu to put the game away. And Pittsburgh went on to win the Super Bowl that year. What kind of moments are we going to get in the storied rivalry? Who knows? But I'm ready for it. I'm here for it. I'm ready to go to the land of the twirling towels and put them silenced. This is a team we love to hate and hate to love. And, this is the rivalry upon rivalries. This is Ravens Steelers week. The Ravens are 8-3. Steelers are down. Prime to smell blood in the water and to really put this team away, man. I am ready to go.
And just look at last year. What about last year when the game happened, Ravens Steelers happened on a Wednesday afternoon, if you remember that. It was supposed to be Thanksgiving night, and there was a COVID outbreak at Ravens facility, and they couldn't play until Wednesday at like 2 p.m. the next week. So these two teams definitely have a history against each other. Just some craziness, absolute craziness whenever these two meet. And I think we're going to add to that this year. Hopefully the Ravens. You know what? Another good one. Remember, it was what year was it? It was Joe Flacco was out. He had gotten injured during a game.
Ryan Mallett, 2015.
It was Ryan Mallett.
We swept the Steelers that year. We were 5-11, and 2 of our 5 wins were against the Steelers. We swept them that year.
But if you remember, the Ravens had nothing to play for. I think it was the last game of the year, and if the Steelers won, they were making the playoffs. And the Ravens played spoilers, and they were able to beat the Steelers during the last game of the year. Steelers missed the playoffs, and I just remember Snoop Dogg going on Instagram and was so incredibly ticked off, just going, man, why can't these Ravens just roll over? Why can't they just do this? What
was
are
it
you 2018
with the Browns game, and they were watching it on the screen? And then, yeah, it was the Browns game where Mosley intercepted it because they remember Pittsburgh was watching it on the Jumbotrons at their stadium because their game was earlier. And they've already won. And if the Browns would have beat the Ravens, the Steelers were AFC North champs. So when the Ravens got it, they I think either knocked them out or the Ravens were division. I can't remember. No, I think the Steelers didn't make the playoffs. I think they knocked them out.
Yeah, that was a different game. I think the one I'm thinking of was from the 20th season because I remember those terrible mustard pants. But
it was 2015.
It was that year. So yeah, that was the one where the Ravens just kind of played spoiler against the Steelers. Anytime you get to ruin a spoiler or a Steelers day.
Well, let's hope they don't play spoiler to Ravens plans trying to get their 9th win on the season, man. And I can't wait, man. Late afternoon window. All the world's going to be watching. It's another leg in the Ravens Steelers rivalry. And this is bout number one of 2021. Who's going to come out on top and get that win? And it's going to set the Ravens pretty to somehow the Steelers can win it. They have a little bit of life, and the Ravens are 8-4, and then we'll see how the rest of the league shakes out. But this is crazy. When we looked at the division standings, if the Ravens would have somehow lost to the Browns, I think they would have dropped to like the 6th or even 7th seed in the AFC.
Yeah.
So by winning and a couple of other teams losing, as we know, and winning, because obviously we know what the Patriots did to the Titans, Ravens are in first place by half a game, man. We watch out for the Patriots, man. What they're doing up there with Bill Belichick, Mac Jones, it's just a perfect scenario for them. They won 6 straight. They're 8-4. Big matchup, Bills, Patriots, as we said, on Monday Night Football. I mean, it's a great weekend for some rivalry games, man. Like Ravens, Steelers, 4:25 kickoff on Sunday evening. You can call it prime time, if you will, because it gets dark very, very early here. And then you got a Monday Night matchup for the ages. So, enjoy it. And with that, you know, definitely thankful for everything you do. Hey, how was your Thanksgiving, man? How was it?
Thanksgiving was good.
Forgot to lead off the show with that.
I know. Yeah, Thanksgiving was good. Got some turkey. Got some shopping done on Black Friday. Got to watch the Ravens on Sunday night. I mean, that was a good weekend all around. I love Thanksgiving.
Good, man. And mine was good too. I was full for like 2 days. Ate a lot of food, had a lot of great family time, enjoyed watching football with my family and just fellowshipping. And yeah.
Did you make your sliders?
I did. Of course.
Yeah.
Love them.
How do you feel? You said, your cousin makes the mac and cheese that you love. And then Matt Judon comes out and says he hates mac and cheese.
With him and him and Marlon Humphrey, man, they don't like some mac and cheese, man. And that's why I said on the day, I was like, what's this hate? If you don't like something, don't eat it. Like, I don't like sauerkraut. I don't like half the stuff that's on the table. I don't put it on my plate. I just don't eat it. I don't go to social media and say, oh, I make the rules around here, so mac and cheese shouldn't be on the table at all. Like, they're not the rules makers for Thanksgiving. If they don't like it, that's their opinion. If they don't eat it, I'm picky eater. There's a lot of foods that I'm sure Matt Judon and Marlon Humphrey eat that I despise. So we can say touche on that one, but I don't know. But yeah, the mac and cheese was absolutely delicious. It's a staple on the table. It's got to be there. And all its cheesy goodness.
That's right. Well, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
With the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we're always sharing anything we find interesting about the Ravens or about football in general. So make sure you go over to our Facebook page and like us over there. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. It's Steeler Hate Week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so very much for all you do. And thank you for all of our listeners out there, man, making this a possibility and, you know, engaging with us on a weekly basis. We certainly appreciate everything you do. And, we're certainly excited for the opportunity to put on this podcast for you. Thank you to Brandon for always being willing to step up and do all the hard work and edit the shows. And, you know, huge thank you to Dan for getting us back on track to the podcast app. You know, thank you to all. In the season of thanks and, you know, heading into holiday season, however you celebrate, you know, they said it's the most wonderful time of the year. And what better way to kick that off by the most wonderful matchup of the year? I mean, you could probably pick another matchup or two, but what's better than Ravens Steelers, no matter if it's in Pittsburgh or in Baltimore? It's a bloodbath. It's a war. These teams love to hate each other. Fans love to hate them. There's always mutual respect there somehow, but nothing but hate for this week. And in the season of love and giving, yeah, we're going to hate this week. We're going to hate some more because we got the Browns after that. You know what? We're going to hate into the new year because we have the Browns. Now we have the Bengals and the Steelers again. So, like I said, got 4 games of hatred in the last 6. And two NFC matchups thrown in there, some two good teams, and I can't wait to get it started. Ravens, Steelers in Pittsburgh. Late window on Sunday. Strap up. Let's get ready to rumble. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly into Pittsburgh. Fly high out with a 9th win. Let's get them.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.